Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Now, a new study on gun deaths in America. According to research published in the journal Lancet this week, firearm-related deaths could be reduced by 90% from 30,000 a year to just 3,000 with the passage of just three gun safety laws. Those three laws would require more background checks for both gun and ammunition purchases and more rigorous tracing of guns. Now, some gun policy experts call the research flawed and biased. The study comes from researchers at Boston University, and one of them, Bindu Kalesan, joins us now. And Bindu Kalesan, welcome to Radio Boston. Very happy that you're with us.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about what prompted you to do this research in the first place.
Well, there was already a study which showed that restrictive gun laws work, is associated with reduced gun death rates. So we thought, okay, so that means multiple states or different states across the country will differentially have these laws, these gun laws, and either affect the state, either reduce the gun rates or increase the gun rates according to the different laws. So is there a platform or is there a law where once it's passed federally will even out all the states, maybe like overall bring down the gun death rates, which is very high in this country? So the current evidence definitely points to these restrictive laws being effective.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we should refine this further and find out at least one law which, when implemented federally, will work.
I see.
So that's the reason why we did the study in the first place.
So, and talk a little bit about the three laws that seem to be, that actually you identify as being the most effective. What are these three laws?
So from our study, we used 25 different gun laws, and we found 9 of them to be associated with reducing gun death rates. So from the 9, 3 of them were very significantly associated with reducing gun death rates. And there were background checks for gun purchases, background checks for ammunition purchase, and also firearm identification laws, which is basically a how to identify a crime gun through micro-stamping processing.
Oh, I see. How to identify it and trace it and figure out its origin and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly, because we in this country, we do not have a firearm registry. Yeah. So it's very hard to keep track of a firearm.
Mm.
So, yes.
Yeah, and I'm interested that you studied both restrictive gun laws and permissive gun laws. And one particular law that sort of falls into the latter camp, the stand your ground laws.
That's correct.
And these are laws essentially that if you feel you're being threatened, you don't necessarily have to retreat. You're protected in many circumstances if you pull out your gun and gun down the person who might be threatening you. And you found that that had a particularly strong influence on increasing the number of firearm deaths in states where that law was implemented, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Wow. So what's the significance of that in your view?
Well, you know, some of the laws. So this is a very important question. So most of the laws are considered restrictive laws,
mm-hmm.
which are aimed to somehow bring about gun control, right? Gun violence control. So at the same time, this law and there are a few other laws as well, like open carry and all that, are considered to be specifically more permissive laws. So we need to understand this, the opposite of these restrictive laws as well. What are they really doing to the whole, you know, public health problem that we have at hand? So are these stand your ground laws, which removes the duty to retreat when faced with a perceivable threat, is it actually increasing the risk of gun deaths, or is it decreasing?
Hmm.
So this is very important in the perspective of gun violence.
I see. Now, I want to ask you about some of the pushback that this study has received, right? There has been some pushback. For example, David Hemenway, he's a professor of health policy at Harvard. And among the concerns that he raises is that you use limited data. And I'm going to quote a little something that he said here. With data for just 1 year, the authors could not examine the rates of firearm fatalities before and after the passage of any law. That sounds like a big flaw in the study.
Well, that can sound like a big flaw, but then think about it this way, too. This is not the first time you take only 1 year. So it has been done. So he's also right that we have taken 1 year only. But the reason why we wanted to do that was because we wanted to make sure these laws are correctly captured. Mm-hmm. So think about it this way. Usually, most of the studies take one or two laws, maximum about four laws, and then look across one state, right? That's the usual kind of study, what I think Dr. Hemingway does. So when you look at it that way, it's very easy to really control for different factors. But when we're looking across multiple states, so exactly 50 different states, we understood one very important thing about these laws. These laws are almost dynamic. So in 1 year, one law can be passed, and then a few months later or another year later, it can change because there's an amendment to that law. Or another law can be passed where it nullifies the existing law. Mm-hmm. So this is almost very dynamic, and it is very hard to get it across, you know, each state. And also, each state will implement these laws in very differentially.
But my question, I mean, just sort of following...
I'm getting to that.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm actually getting to that. So that's the reason why we used only 1 year, to be very thorough. So we used basically laws from 2009 mm-hmm. and also gun deaths from 2010. So we're not like the rest of the countries in the world. We have a lot of deaths, gun deaths. So when you consider just in terms of statistics alone, you know, considering 33,000 events, that's the number of events we have. And in that way, this is okay. But at the same time, he's also right. We could have had multiple years,
yes,
which will improve the manuscript a great deal. But what we wanted to do with the study was to provide a preliminary evidence, which we have succeeded in providing. Instead of this, okay, restrictive laws work, and every state doing it differentially, shall we have a one specific direction so that we can turn into? So, you know, when President Obama wanted to implement that background check law, he failed to do so because we did not have enough evidence.
I understand.
Right? So this is attempting to provide the first direction. Now we have to validate this.
All right, I understand. So I want to ask you just about one other criticism, because mm-hmm. Some folks have suggested that rather than a rigorous scientific report, this is a report that's sort of biased in favor of gun control. And the example was because you use sort of pro-gun control terminology in the report, like assault weapons ban, instead of just referring to these guns as more neutral terms, like sporting rifles. I mean, so I guess the question is, did you have an agenda going into this study, or was it sort of pure science?
It was truly pure science. You know, the reason why I say that is, you know, I consider, like, of course, I consider our motivation is to be able to prevent gun deaths, right? That is the public health problem here. It's not about picking a fight with gun owners. But this is almost like, you know, when you have women's health issue, mm-hmm. not including the woman in the decision making. So I feel some of, it's not like what I feel, but I found that some of the best allies in this discussion are gun owners themselves. They are the best people to have a discussion with because they know it's their culture. And if we stand against that kind of a culture, it does not work. So the terms what we used, you know, are exactly what has been used in other literature as well. So if you do a PubMed search, you will see the exact terms what we've used.
Well, Bindu Kalesan, I'm really grateful that you joined us today. She's the director of the Evans Center for Translational Epidemiology and Comparative Effectiveness Research at Boston University. That's a mouthful, but Bindu Kalesan, thank you so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Thank you, listeners.
You can find a link to that study at radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.